Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This lady coming in today. Yes. No question about it.
Indeed. Lacey Henderson joins us, U.S. Paralympian. Thank you for coming in. How is your day going today?
You know, it's been a great day. I actually I caught the sunshine right before it started dumping for a training session.
Oh, we appreciate you coming through and rush hour traffic and everything, and it's raining like cats and dogs out there. No question about it. Tell us a little bit about your stay in San Diego, what you're getting prepared for. I know, but let our listening audience know.
Yeah, I'm actually here in San Diego. I'm staying at the Chula Vista Olympic Training Center. Ironically, for warm weather training right now.
And as cold as it can be out here in San Diego right now.
But you know what? It's good. I got bodies there. You know, there's a lot of athletes there. And I'm currently living in Austin, Texas. And my training has been going great, but it's been like very much, I've been like Tom Hanks in Castaway, just like fully training on my own, which has been good, but I need a human connection. So U.S. Paralympics has been great, and they send a lot of us out to the training center when we need. And the goal this year is 2019 World Championships, which is in Dubai. And I'm going actually through the Paralympic cycle to Tokyo for the 2020 Games.
That's awesome. Yeah. Now tell us a little bit about your story. Now, Coach and I have done our homework. You were, as a child, you survived a very rare form of cancer that forced you to lose your leg, correct?
Yeah, I am. I was diagnosed with a soft tissue cancer called synovial sarcoma. And then for anybody involved in athletics, synovial fluid's really important for joints, for recovery. And I just kind of got this weird, freaky tumor right in my knee. We tried to do experimental chemotherapy treatments.
How old were you when this
I was nine.
You were nine.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm coming up on my 20th canzonetta,
oh,
I call it.
Man.
My cancer birthday, have to have a little flavor. I was nine, and I come from an athletic family. My dad went to Olympic trials for pole vault, and we were never really around the world of disability. We didn't know anyone who was an amputee, who was in a wheelchair, anything like that. So the idea of amputating the leg, we were like, no.
right.
No, most
people would feel that way.
Let's try
plan B.
Yeah.
Right.
And so we tried a bunch of experiments. Nothing worked. And eventually we amputated. And I guess the rest is history. I went back into sports. And again, my mom and dad, they were phenomenal. But they come from an older generation. My dad is in his 70s. So after I was fit, after I was like, you know, back on 2 feet, fitted with a prosthetic again, my parents were like, we don't want to put her in any special anything. Like, they're like, nah, we're not doing that. So I ended up being a competitive cheerleader in high school, and then I got a scholarship for cheer at the University of Denver at the collegiate level. And I kind of, a lot of times I feel like your passion finds you instead of you finding it. So I actually didn't start track and field until after I graduated college.
Really?
An older lady.
Knocked it off.
I mean, I felt young, but this year I'm like, ooh, the recovery takes a little longer.
Listen, talk a little bit about that. I mean, I knew that you'd been a cheerleader and all that, and I know your dad had a track and field background, but why? How old were you, and how did that come about? I mean, track and field can be a very intimidating sport because you're the only one out there competing. You're competing against yourself, let alone the rest of the field.
Yeah. It definitely has been an interesting transition coming from team sports to a single-person sport. I guess I'll tell you guys the real story. I was a senior in college. I was 21 years old. Athletic family, like just stupidly, overly competitive for no reason sometimes. And I taught my dad how to play beer pong.
I was going to ask you about this. I'm glad you're telling the story.
It is. Drinking was involved. And I taught him how to play. And like, let me tell you, like cheer, like I'm a good athlete. I have good body awareness. My hand-eye coordination, trash.
Not so
hot
there.
Trash.
So hot trash.
It's bad. It's so bad. So I taught my dad how to play beer pong, and like he is crushing me. So the only way that I can really like restore my dignity is just to talk trash.
That works in everybody's family.
Exactly.
Same thing.
I'm also good at that. And so my dad, like, somehow the conversation turned into who is a better athlete. And I've always had just like an overly false sense of confidence and like bordering delusion. As I've gotten older, I've gotten much more humble, and the reality is swiftly kicked me. And but at the time, at 21, I could do anything. So, you know, I was like, I am an above the knee amputee. I'm a Division I athlete, blah, blah, blah. And my dad's like, Lacey, he's like, you couldn't learn to pole vault 2 feet.
And like, oh, challenge.
That, well, I mean, first of all, 2 feet is so disrespectful. Like, my feelings were so hurt. I'm like, nah. But again, like, only my family at the time would just casually have a pole vault pit and poles, just like,
yeah, I don't know too many families available. That have that.
Yeah. So his beer pong partner actually was one of his former athletes who's a coach, and like, you know, he was there for it. He's like, listen, come out to the track tomorrow and we'll learn how to jump. And coming from a gymnastics background, I didn't know about running prosthetics. I didn't know anything about Paralympics, disabled sports or anything. So I just rolled in with one of my old, I call them my old hoopty legs, like one of the old ones, the old beater ones.
You have a great sense of humor, by the way.
Thank you. And I learned how to jump. I jumped 6 feet my first day, and I just fell in love with the feeling. And so I actually had started track and field as a pole vaulter, but with Paralympics, there's no one in the field pole vaulting. So I was just jumping like for fun, because it was fun for me. I liked doing it. I started racing just so I could get better marks in the pole vault. And from there, I realized that I had some marginal, like, you know, I had a little bit of talent coming into racing. So I qualified for London in my first race. Wow. And the rest, you know, it just kind of like took its own shape as far as training.
I forgot who asked the question. Was it my turn?
Yeah. We were mesmerized, but it's a great story. We're real excited about you coming in today.
After you hit that 6 feet on the first jump, did you immediately call your dad and let him know that the 2 feet was very disrespectful?
Yeah, you better believe I'm getting six packs for life now.
So tell us a little bit about what's ahead. 2019 World Championships, and then following that,
Tokyo.
2020 Tokyo.
The big show, yeah. So I went to Rio 2016. I've competed in a couple other world championships as well. So, I mean, this year it's business as usual, just a lot of training. Our schedule's kind of set up weird. So our world championships isn't until November, which for track and field is very late, but it's in Dubai. So hopefully the weather won't be, you know, offensively hot.
That'll be a nice ride over there.
I can't recall them having too much snow or anything.
Yeah,
there, so
exactly.
You're good.
Only inside, right? Those right. Indoor snow places. And then it basically is going to be like a year and a half kind of season, because Tokyo will be kind of regular schedule. So as far as me right now with training, a lot of heavy volume strength training, just got to get, you know, strong like bull and try to carry through, you know, carry these old bones through 2020 and just kind of see where life takes you from there.
How many events are you competing in?
I am just doing long jump now. So I have like bounced around a couple of events. I was racing for a while. I raced in Rio. I'm a fine racer, but turns out I'm not that fast. But I am a great long jumper. And it's kind of ironic, too, coming from a cheer background. I avoided the long jump forever because, this is so embarrassing, because I didn't like sweating and I didn't want to get dirty. Like, that
this
was
is coming
like,
from an athlete. Right
yeah,
now.
I mean, but yeah, you know, like, you know, athletes, like, we work hard, but we're also like low key divas.
Right.
Yeah, that's, I didn't want to get dirty. But and then I started jumping, and by my fourth competition, I'd broken a 17-year long American record.
Wow.
So it was another moment too where I was like, dang, I guess I'm good at this.
Yeah.
And long jump has been cool because it's taught me a lot about myself, and like, you learn to really appreciate the craft. I think with racing, just the mentality is so aggressive, and
just
I, like,
win.
Exactly. And like, I'm like a funny jokey person, and
we can tell.
Yeah. Never told
what? And yeah, like, it just, long jump was just like, it feels like poetry, and I just love the process of it. And it's been a gift, I think, honestly, like getting older, being able to still perform at a high level that, like, the whatever my body allows me to do has been a gift. And I think, like, as I get older, you know, at any point, like, there are certain days for sure I'm like, maybe I should just get a job because this is hard.
Right.
But I decided to stick with long jump just because it has brought, like, it's just brought a lot more into my life as far as self-reflection, not just as an athlete, but as a person developing into whoever I'm going to be at post-games, post-athletic career. And it's just been something that I'm keeping close to myself. So right now, just jumps.
Now, let's go back to when you were nine and mm-hmm. you have your leg, you half of your leg amputated.
Yeah.
what is that like mentally? I mean, for a 9-year-old, I would imagine, obviously, you know what's going on, but from a mental standpoint, we're not, 9-year-olds aren't generally equipped to deal with something
like that. Yeah, with like really heavy stuff.
Yeah.
Maybe that's where my sick sense of humor came from. I mean, you know, slightly that, but my family was awesome. They were great. Like, we had a great sense of humor about everything. At 9, like, you are aware of what's going on, but I don't think you have the same, like, emotional baggage that you normally have as an adult. So I was lucky in that when I was sick, it was the opportunity to get better. It was the opportunity to move forward and get out of cancer land. So I was positive, I think, going through it and going through the amputation, but I didn't really think about the road ahead. It was just kind of like what's happening today in the moment. And I think children have a good base on being present like that. So I think it was a little bit more difficult probably transitioning into more adult life things. But as a 9-year-old, it was it just, you know, it was like we'll just learn each day.
That's really, really cool.
All right. I think what we're going to do here, we want to get a little more with Lacey. We're going to ask you to stay through the break. We'll get through the top of the hour. When we come back, we'll more with Lacey Henderson, a U.S. Paralympian, right here on 97.3 The Fan.
If you know that NFL teams get 780 game balls per season.
You are the nuttiest.
Smartest head coaches. Well, Sean McVay, he already got a tree of coaches leaving him to go play coach other teams.
Yes, but you got a smart coach for 2 years going up against a smart coach for 22 years.
Smart is smart.
And his fiance is on board with this business decision because she called his agent with a message saying, quote, I'm going to the... Hey, Kylie.
First of all, don't ever yell at my dog.
One, a former major leaguer. One, a veteran broadcaster. Gwen and Chris starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
Welcome back. Coach John Katara sitting in today for Big Chris Ello. Chris will be back in tomorrow. Tony Gwynn Jr., the Gwen and Chris show. Monday through Friday, 3 to 7. Of course, tonight we got UCLA basketball coming up at 6:30. We'll have the call for you with the tip-off at 7 o'clock. They're taking on the California Golden Bears tonight up at the Haas Pavilion. Joining us in studio, and very happy to have her here today, Lacey Henderson, a U.S. Paralympian, a young lady that unfortunately lost her right leg when she was 9 years of age, but she hasn't let grass grow under her feet very long. She's developed into being a world-class Paralympian. We're very happy to have her in studio and happy to have her in San Diego this week training. And Lacey, let's talk a little bit about what's going on this week. You're just here for a week, and tell us about what's going on down there in Chula Vista.
I mean, right now, honestly, it's business as usual. I feel like I'm just doing the same things I do in Texas, but with sunnier weather.
Where do you work out in Texas?
I am at a high school close to UT, just north of like the central Austin area.
Good.
When it comes to your workouts, like, what are the things that you focus on for pole vaulting? I mean,
long jumping now.
Long jumping now. What are some of the things that you focus on from a workout standpoint?
It depends on the time of year with a lot of athletes.
Said heavy lifting right now.
Yeah, right now it's heavy volume. It's just getting super strong. But as far as like sprints and jumps go, a lot of it is explosive power. So I'm going to be lifting heavy in the gym like all year round. But a lot of it is how quickly you move a lot of weight. It just really comes to just being able to like to hit the ground hard, because the harder you hit the ground, the faster you run. And the harder you push off the ground, the further you can jump.
What type of exercises are we talking about? Because You see some of the athletes that do long jump doing power cleans, things of that nature. Are we talking same
yep,
type stuff?
Same. I had I had the pleasure of joining a training group in Phoenix a couple of years ago, and one of the coaches that took me under was he's like, you know, one of the godfathers of track and field, and a very very big, very important name. His name's Dan Paff, and he was the head coach for the British Athletics team for London 2012. And I just remember I came in thinking I had a lot of special needs as an amputee athlete. He let me know quickly that I was not special. He's like, listen, he's like, Lace, he's like, I'm going to have you do what everybody else does until you can't. And we'll go from there. And then we really never ran into any issues. So it's been kind of the same lift, same workout, different weight, and slowly building up towards, you know, more consistent, heavy
dope.
Stuff.
That is awesome.
It really is. When you go out and are working out in Austin right now, Do you have a personal coach? Everybody's got a personal coach. You just go out and do it on your own. Who's monitoring your workouts?
Oh, I definitely have a coach. I'm not that smart to write. I mean, maybe one day I can write my own programming, but that's a lot of mental work. I have a coach now. His name's Kyle Hierholzer. He coached previously at Kansas State and then was with our training group as well at Altus in Phoenix. A really similar training, but Kyle has a little bit more, strength built into the programming. So he is my coach in Texas. We all kind of moved from Phoenix. And besides me and the track, I will meet up with him and we'll do some technical sessions together. But this is track and field as a grown gal in the U.S. now.
Lacey Henderson joins us on Gwen and Chris, U.S. Paralympian. I got to ask, you've made reference to being an old lady. By the way, she's nowhere close to being an old lady.
No, not at all.
What kind of things are you looking forward to after? Because we all know as athletes, Father Time is undefeated.
It is inevitable. Although there is a difference between chronological age and biological age,
Touché.
Which I'm really holding on to. I'm like, hey, Italian people, we stay young.
Women seem to know that one better than the men do.
Far better.
And especially being at the training center right now, everybody's like, you're 30. They're like, you look 11. I'm like, well, I'll hold on to that.
Wait, time out. You're 30?
You haven't turned 30 yet, though, have you?
I turned 30. You're right. I'm still in my mid-20s.
Right. No, you got a birthday coming up here pretty quick,
though. I do, in June. Yeah, so right now I'm young 20s. Basically right now, this year's been a really fun year, not just for performing and training, but I'm also preparing for a softer landing as far as retirement goes. Working on a lot of creative projects. I do a lot of writing. I started off with a blog, and I started hosting a web series for a medical device company. And I just recently signed a contract with an entertainment group for a podcast. So I'll be hosting a podcast called Picked Last in Gym Class.
What's that going to be? What's the idea behind it?
The idea, kind of like the idea of like struggles before success, but we're going to have a heavy influence on like body positivity, body issues, like just people who look and feel different, like finding ways not to ignore the status that makes us a minority, the status that makes us different from other people, but honoring it and then finding common humanity for everybody. Because I think that's like just culturally the climate right now is like you can't ignore our differences, but at the same time, like they need to be recognized and like we need to move forward together.
You got your Twitter account going?
Yeah, my Twitter's Lace is your friend. Instagram, Lacey is your friend. That was my AIM handle, back in the eighth grade, and it's really stuck through for a long time. Who knew the internet was going to last so long?
Yeah, apparently you did. It's working.
I got to ask you, you're here in San Diego, America's finest city, I might add.
Yes. Although it's not looking like America's finest city today.
Yeah, I know.
It's fine.
Put your Doppler away over there, will you? How have you been to San Diego before?
I have. I've been coming back and forth actually to the training center since 2011. I have a bunch of friends here. I love San Diego. I really, any opportunity I have to get down here, I try to come down for sure.
Oh, that's great. Well, we really enjoyed having you in here today.
Thank you guys.
We wish you the best, and we're going to all get you on Twitter. We get to this next break, we're all going to get to the Twitter.
It's
and
gonna be
gotta
an
get
iPhone.
The Twitter
gotta
handle,
get that in
the
there.
Instagram handle. We all got to get a pic too before.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right.
I contoured for this. I'm learning makeup, too. That's what my 30s are for.
Now you're looking good. There's no question about that. I want to remind everyone, coming up here in about 5 minutes, we're going to go down to Peoria. The pitchers and catchers and selected veterans were reporting today to camp. We're going to hear from Annie Heilbrunn from the San Diego Union Tribune. Let us know who showed up. I would imagine everybody showed up. I don't think Padres are going to have any holdouts right now.
Does anybody still do that? Nobody holds out anymore, unless they actually don't have a contract.
Well, there are a lot of guys that don't have a contract. there are a lot of guys sitting on their couch right now, and their wife is giving them the what for as they watch Dr. Phil today.
there's plenty of guys watching Dr. Phil, although they'd like to be in spring training, though, I guarantee
No question. Lacey, thanks again for coming in. Great to have you here, and we're going to be following you, believe me.
Yeah, thank you guys so much. It was a blast.
There you go. Lacey Henderson, a U.S. Paralympian, nice enough to join us this afternoon in our 97.3 studios. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, we'll go down to Peoria, find out what's up with the San Diego Padres. They arrive a day before Valentine's Day. Gwen and Chris, Tony Gwynn Jr., Coach John Quintero, going to UCLA basketball tonight at 6:30 right here on 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.